Danny, one of the big stories we wanted to get to yesterday that got left on the chopping block was the development in NFL media that the NFL is going to mandate that head coaches talk during games in the 2024 season. Each team has to provide a head coach. So they'll have an interview in the first half with one team and in the second half with the other, which is a departure from the previous rules. What you guys are used to watching is seeing these quick little interviews before or after halftime or right before kickoff, where let's throw down to the sideline and Carissa Thompson, and she's standing next to Ron Rivera, and she says, "Coach, you guys are without two left tackles today. You're down to your third guy on the roster. Are you sure you're going to be good enough to win?" or whatever. And then he says, we're going to do what we can. We're going to elevate
our really game. Well, okay.
This is how we found out when Rivera said, remember, at halftime of the Bears game, coming out of halftime, "What did you say to the team?" "Well, I didn't say anything. I'll let them do the talking, okay?" But there is normally an interview before the game starts, right before the game, right before the kickoff of the second half, or maybe walking into the locker room. And that was the option given to coaches before. But now, you see this in other sports, Major League Baseball, when the manager's in the dugout wearing the headset, and some of the other games that you guys watch. In hockey, you see this on the bench where Spencer Carberry's got the headset on, and he's talking, coming back from break. They want these interviews done during the actual game with these coaches.
So, for me, 90-some percent of them are, I don't say a waste of time, because that's not how I feel. They're non-needle movers. For the most part, for me, it's a cliche. It's kind of a hard to get a probing, in depth kind of question. They're looking to get out of there. The host, it's almost like or the sideline reporter almost like feels bad having to ask them to interrupt their job, etc. But every 1 out of 10, every 1 out of 20, you get that Rivera answer. You get that, "Oh my God, my jaw's on the floor. What are you talking about? What are you doing, dude? Like, holy crap!" And that's why it's worth it to me. See what I'm saying? Like, you watch it just in case you see something. Most of the time when I'm watching like a Tuesday night NBA game late at night, or I'll, you know, flip around to MLB Network and see the Padres and the Mariners playing an interleague game, you're not going to see much. You'll see baseball, and it's fine. It's good. But you might see the thing you never saw. You might see the triple play. You might see the guy hit for the cycle. You might see the greatest catch you've ever seen. And that's kind of the point. You keep throwing it up at the wall in case something incredible sticks. So you brought up that Rivera example, which is a great one. Most of them, to me, are sort of non-needle movers. They're not that exciting. But every once in a while, you get that, "I'm never going to stop thinking about this."
Yeah, so this is something that I need people to explain to me. And we can open up the phones, actually. That would help the process, I'm sure. 800-636-1067. MGM National Harbor listener lines available for you. Most fans routinely say they want to get rid of these types of interviews. And the idea is they don't help me. To your point, at a 90-some percent clip, nothing interesting is going to be said. Mediocre question gets asked. Answer that's a nothing burger retort. Maybe a second question, a second quick answer. Sometimes if the coach is really engaging, it can be entertaining. Like Mike McDaniel's normally good and funny and long-winded. But for the most part, there are guys that Belichick it and just three-word it. "We got to play better. We got to coach better." You know, the Nick Saban thing? And I understand if you're sitting there telling me, "I don't get anything out of this. It doesn't really enhance my experience." I just don't understand why anyone would say that it takes away from the experience. Like, there was a poll I saw. Might have been Pro Football Talk did. And 88% of people said that they wish they didn't do these coaches' interviews. I don't understand that logic. I like seeing the demeanor of a coach, even if he doesn't say anything interesting. I know he's probably not going to. I expect to hear two answers that are 10 seconds long, that are cliches, that mean absolutely nothing. But it's a nice part of the furniture of the game for me. It's a nice part of the fabric to just see the personality a little bit, or how they're handling right before the game, either the jitters or during the game. Like, what's going on? Are they friendly? Are they pleasant? Do they call the person by their name? Are they a jerk? Are they terse? I like all of that. And even if you're not taking anything out of it at all, even to that extent, what is the harm here? I enjoy more access, more peeling back of the curtains, and it just seems like people go, "Oh, they're not going to say anything interesting. That's a waste of my time." Why? What's the harm?
That's I'd say close to where I am. I mean, I generally probably get less out of it even than you do, in the sense that what do you have to do in the second half? Play better. Thanks so much for your time. Right?
Well, like, there's not much stuff that's not real that perpetuates old axioms. Like, we got to run the ball.
Yeah, we got to tackle.
Line.
We got to get physical. You know, we got to want it more. I mean, you're going to hear a cliche, but to me, it's not as if they're not giving you coverage and have decided for that. Does that make sense? Like there's not some super valuable thing they're going, well, we can no longer include this unbelievably informative piece of content because we have to do the coach talk.
Yeah, it's not a or where you're choosing right. that over something. It's just an additive supplement. It's a couple of seconds where maybe we would have been in the booth seeing Nance and Romo break down the game, and instead you go down to the coach on the sideline.
Yeah, to me, it's a non-offensive. Majority of the time, it's a nothing burger. But again, I think you sit through it for that occasional outburst one, that occasional weird thing, that occasional, oh my God, the guy just gave away everything, you know, type moment where either his guard's down or doesn't realize he's saying something so stupid, or he actually tells you they kicked our butt doing this and you actually get a great soundbite out of it. It's like one out of 20 where that happens. But the other 19 are unoffensive to me.
What I'm really interested in is, does the NFL allow these to be taped? Because the story here, the headline is, the NFL is going to mandate that the head coaches do in-game interviews. But I would say that we call the interview in hockey or in baseball with the coach or the manager an in-game interview. And most of those are recorded during the commercial break, and then they come back and they play it almost a lot of the time on like a split screen. You think about the NBA, you see this all the time. If you're watching TNT or something, comes back and most of the screen is the live game. And then on the bottom right, there's a little square where you can see whoever the sideline reporter is asking Steve Kerr questions, and he's talking about the game. And like, even if there's a basket made or whatever, you get some Nat sound and the crowd cheering, but you're listening to that interview and you can tell it just happened. That's an in-game interview, theoretically. But in all of those sports, baseball, basketball, hockey, the majority of them are actually taped. Now, I don't have a problem with that. I'm just saying, is that the plan, or are they looking for a live reaction? Because I do think if it really is about the consumer, and the head of NFL broadcast was asked, why are you doing this? Why are you changing this? Why do you mandate that the coaches have to do this? She said, well, it's better for our consumers and it's better for our TV partners. It's more entertaining product. Well, if that's the case, then you should actually make it have to be a live interview so that you might see a coach interviewing as something's happening on the field and reacting in real time, screaming or yelling or kind of making a cringe face or whatever. Whereas if you're just playing a taped interview, they're just right before a drive doing the same thing it would have been if it was right before halftime.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd be curious to see about that. Like, is there a chance that they actually say, hey, these have to be live during the game. You don't have a choice. First half or second half, you get to choose if you're home, you know, which one you want to do. The other coach has to do the other half. And someone will grab you, and you got to give them a minute. I've been a sideline reporter before at all kinds of levels, high school football, done a little college stuff, whatever. Dealing with coaches, they are so annoyed to see you.
Yeah.
Most of them are very professional, but they know the drill. They know it's mandated. Sure. They know it's part of the contract. They know that billions of dollars is changing hands between TV networks and the league, and it still doesn't matter to them when you waddle up to them before a 3rd and 6 or – you know, in my case.
Big play here, coach.
Or even at halftime.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're down by 10 or 12, even if you're winning, that these people are crazy and want to get in the locker room and draw up the next play. But especially if things aren't going well, I pity the reporter that's got to go up in the middle of the game and talk to a coach.
Totally. I mean, again, you can think of some of those moments. I will never forget Marty Schottenheimer talking to the reporter's last name was Beasley. I can't remember who the guy's first name was, but you saw this game, Bees, and like, well, they're down 30-0 at halftime or whatever. You know, just talking about like guts and desire and men being men or something like that. Like, I remember some of those moments. So it's not easy. It's awkward for the reporter, certainly. And it's like nobody really wants to be there. But the NFL's kind of on the cutting edge of this where we're going. I mean, baseball's done this to a degree too. But they get it. The thing that wins now, the next frontier, is the access frontier, right? This Hard Knocks offseason thing is demystifying so much for me in terms of conversations and how these kind of decisions go. And I'm sure there are high-level ones where these guys are exchanging spreadsheets with information that I'll never have access to that's proprietary. But for the most part, it's just dudes sitting around talking about football, getting paid millions of dollars to do it, right? And I think people have or the league is kind of realizing this sort of Netflix documentary phenomenon of the thing that we can sell to get us even more, to get us to that further level domestically, because you're not doing any better on television. You're not doing any better in terms of live tickets. You've saturated the market there. You're winning. You've won. The next frontier is that access frontier. And I think it's going to become part of the furniture where they mandate it. But I think that's their next growth opportunity. I think they sense that.